Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
I can choose.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I don't try.
Sing it.
Welcome, welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And today's date is November the 7th, 2018. And we have a very exciting show for you today. And those who join us on a regular basis, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Well, if you have not been hiding under the rock, everybody knows that yesterday was the primary elections, midterm 2018. And I have a very exciting guest for you today, a gentleman who I am pleased to have made the acquaintance at a recent hearing, which was held on October 29th at the D.C. Council by Councilman McDuffie on the Bill 22904, on which is the Clean Omnibus Act of 2018. And we have today the pleasure of having Mr. Kenmon Freeman, an activist, poet, playwright, and the founder of We Act Radio. And without further ado, good morning, Brother Freeman.
Hey, peace and blessings. Good morning to you and your listening audience.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time from your very busy schedule to join us this morning on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And as I say here on this show, we always try to bring news that our community can definitely use. Now, I had the privilege and pleasure of meeting you on October 29th at the Council hearing on the Bill 22904, the Clean Energy Omnibus Act of 2018. And you had a very pointed and direct testimony addressing the issues of this bill and how it would impact on the Black community. And I'd like first to sort of share some background information on you, if you don't mind, so our listening audience will know who you are and what you've done over your lifespan. And this show, every week that I produce it, I'm always reaching out trying to get people who are out in the trenches, not talking it, but walking it. And brother, you have definitely been this, that. You've been a guerrilla activist as one of the leaders of the D.C. Ferguson and organizations devoted to exposing police terror in Washington, D.C. area, along with Eugene Perrier, Simon Adolfi, and Ken Monero have led nonviolent demonstrations that have shut down major economic arteries in the nation's capital. You're the director of the National Black ULVA Festival that has since become the largest annual AIDS mobilization in Washington, D.C. You authored a collection of poetry entitled Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Kenmore, in the process of competing a one-man show called Whites Only, a show where, according to Kenmore, white folks witness angry black men in the therapy from the sanctuary of their seat. He also, the subject and chapter of the book is titled Beat of a Different Drum, Untold Stories of African Americans Forging Their Own Paths in Working Life. Kenmore's dedication to art and activism led him to accept a position with the New York City spokesperson and official port for the anti-war independent presidential candidacy of Ralph Nader. During that campaign in 2004, a scholarship received by American Friends Service Committee allowed him to spend the summer in Nairobi, Kenya for an international leadership conference. He used that time in Kenya to hone his skills as a playwright. He received the 22 annual Larry Neal Award for drama for the successful play Prison Poetry that has the historical Lincoln Theater and Source Theater doing Hip Hop Theater Festival at the Arc, Oak Hill Juvenile Detention Facility, and several colleges and campuses where he's worked at. Been included in Black History curriculums of Maryland Eastern Shore. He has also conducted production workshops at the National Black Theater Festival Institute in Public Studies. Brother, you know, you've been busy in your lifespan, and I want to be thankful to the Creator for blessing us with your presence. But you had a very, very powerful presentation in your testimony in front of Councilman McDuffie, and I want our listening audience to for you to share with them how you see this particular piece of legislation impacting our community. And if you have not been under rock and you've been listening and following this platform, Solar Now in the Future, with its economic impact on Black America, we've been beating this drum for almost a month concerning this bill, because it's going to trigger the financing of this Green Bank, which, according to Betty Ann Kane, chair of the Public Service Commission, and the testimony of Tommy Wells on the October 9th, 2018 hearing, which was chaired by Councilwoman Mary Shea, they were trying to capitalize this. Tommy Wells went on to state that they were trying to capitalize this bank at $100 million. But the chair of the Public Service Commission, Ms. Betty Ann Kane, said that they're going to raise $156 million more than they need between year 2020 and 2032. And this money will come from ratepayers' pockets. So, brother, without further ado, welcome to Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Well, thank you for taking the time to do your research, and I appreciate that. And I have to first, you know, acknowledge, as we had said this before, one of my mentors, the late activist Daniel Smith, and he coined the phrase environmental racism. And my quote from him is that we can have environmental justice and positive economic development that generates opportunities for communities, but at the same time fosters a cleaner environment. They are not mutually exclusive. And that's hence what put a price on the carbon is about. Now, of course, it is a tough pill to swallow when we look at a situation of egregious wealth disparities in this city, where the average white family has 81 times the wealth of the average black family. So having said that, anything that's going to raise prices will be disproportionately affecting people of color. This is why they are have attached, and the only way I will ever support this is they have attached this rebate that goes specifically to those communities for the benefit of those communities in a very real, tangible way. If that is done, then I support it. If it's not done, then I don't support it, because what we don't want to do is be in a situation where we are burying our head in the sand and not doing anything to stop the pollution of our environment that is actually affecting the weather in our environment. We have generations ahead of us or coming up behind of us that we need to be thinking about. And we all can acknowledge that the weather is changing. The extreme weather events are occurring at a higher frequency. And this is all because of mankind's addiction to fossil fuel. And we have to acknowledge that. But this is not something new. This is not new information. You know, as I testified at the hearing, 1979, President Jimmy Carter put solar panels on the White House, all right? And then the man that created crack came in with Reaganomics and took them, promptly removed them. And we haven't had them back on since. And that includes Obama. So we all know there's wars have been fought for this addiction to fossil fuels, and lives have been lost for this addiction, America's addiction to fossil fuels. So this is not a hyperbole where we talk about people's lives are at stake here. But unfortunately, we have a situation where, as President Carter again said, that this is not a democracy. This is an oligarchy, and it's ran by the few who are wealthy. And until we do something in a very real way to challenge their imperialist authority, we're not going to see any changes. And I just wanted to say that Exelon Nuclear Power Company took over Pepco here in D.C., and made a lot of people rich, the mayor included, certain council members included, whoever else owns stock in that company at the time of that acquisition. And that was supposedly promised that all rates wouldn't go up, but they have, and they will continue to. So we have to keep this in mind as we go forward, because we have to actively do something.
Brother Freeman, I want to back up the statement that you made. On October 9th, 2018, Mrs. Sandra Frye, who is an African-American, very dynamic sister, in her testimony in front of Mary Shea, she stated that considering and depending on changes in the wholesale market and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, as we know, 70% of residential customers' bills for electricity in the district comes from wholesale markets, which is unregulated by the Public Service Commission. Moreover, the District of Columbia largely spends on the wider PJM, which stands for Pennsylvania, Jersey, and Maryland, those four states, regions to meet the electric needs. The District Columbia is, we're known as a district. I refer to it as the last plantation, but in fact, you have 12 other states. The district electric suppliers must abide by JMP's procurement and pricing rules, including meeting PJM's reliability requirements. Presently, Pierce is reviewing PJM's tariff and addressing its capacity for market rules. The outcome of these proceedings could have a significant impact on both the price and availability of renewable sources in the District of Columbia. the Office of the People Council and other stakeholders, including environmental inventors, have submitted proposals urging FIERCE to approve a construct which will allow the district to continue to support its preferred energy resources through the REC and other means. Well, FIERCE issued its decision on March of will render the decision in March of 2019. The renewable portfolio standard set out, which is proposed, will be difficult to achieve given that PJM's current and projected future resource portfolio, for example, at the end of last year, coal and natural gas comprised nearly 70% of PJM's total installed capacity, but wind comprised only 0.6% and solar only comprised 0.2% of the portfolio. In addition, the district is just one of several jurisdictions with in the PJM regions with a strong renewable portfolio standards competing for a limited supply of renewable energy and environmental attributes to new generation. Simply stated, you can't buy what's unavailable to the of the resources. Now, what's that speaking to is the fact that in July of 2016, Mayor Bowser signed into law the first renewable portfolio standard laws in the district, in that there was a 5% carve-out for solar energy. Now, the local 5%. Utility, 5%, the local utility, which is Pepco, which is a subsidiary of Exelon, has to purchase from its ratepayers what we call certificates or extracts. If, in fact, Pepco cannot meet that mandatory purchase of those extracts from the marketplace, they are fined in compliance with the renewable compliance fees. Betty Ann Kane went on to say in her October 9th testimony in front of Mary Shea, because of the shortfall of DC-based solar in 2015, DC ratepayers paid $15 million extra for electricity. In 2017, it jumped up to $26.7 million in 1 year. Now, our community, the black community, who can afford this less, especially when you get to talking about, can we say baby boomers, fixed income, folks who are living on fixed incomes, can at least afford this. But the District of Columbia and the powers to be of those who want to, I understand what global warming is. It is a scientific fact. We understand, as people of color, we are disproportionately affected by these storms. Can we say Katrina? Can we say Florence? Can we say Maria? I hail from next door to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. That's my original home. I'm from a small town called Dillon, South Carolina. Our people are still displaced there because of Florence that just hit that greater PD area. But the fact of the matter is, you cannot justify moving the renewable portfolio standards laws in D.C. from 50% to 100%, because when they originally started the public policy, I call it socially engineering public policy, that's what politicians do. When they started working on this legislation, they wanted a 15% carve out back in May of this year. I had the privilege of attending in July, the public meetings which were held by Pepco, Mrs. Dana Small, who is the smart grid technology director for Pepco, pulled me aside and said, Mr. Bethea, thank you for coming down to cover this. She said, we have already run the numbers in the District of Columbia. We don't have enough space in the District of Columbia to abate and offset these compliance fees for 5%. What are we going to do with 15%? Now, this bill was a work in progress. We saw that it went, they dropped it back from, and the renewable portfolio standard law was supposed to fulfill, that Biles was signed into law in 2016, was signed on the premise that it would kick in a funding for programs such as the Solar for All program, which was supposed to help reduce 100,000 low and moderate income D.C. residents' energy costs by 50% by year 2032. And that inmate, that legislation, how they had drafted, were the 100% renewable portfolio standards had until year 2050 to meet those goals. Well, they've cut it back to 2032 with this 100%, and they pushed it back to 5%, knowing that the D.C. government, when the money, first money came out of DOEE for grantees, thought of helping with 8, 5, 6, and 7, our low and our moderate income communities. They didn't put a dime in the budget for roof repair. But now there was, it was stated that the funds for the Solar for All program could be used for roof repair, but I know for a fact because I attended a lot of the community information sessions that were put on by D.C. Sun, and they told people at that time they had no money for roof repair. Well, this is what Mrs. Dana Small said to me in July. Unless the D.C. City Council is going to come up with an $80 to $90 million infrastructure bill to help folks in wards 8, 5, 6, and 7 repair these roofs, they know we cannot abate this. So I've been beating the drum around this issue because I know for a fact that this is economic, there's no other way to call it, fleecing of the masses, and specifically masses of color, because our folks are not going to be given this information through any other platform but the one you're listening to now. And for our folks, you can join us by calling 646-668-2948 and join us in this conversation, because we don't keep beating this drum about this legislation because this makes no sense. Now, I'm going to let you weigh in on the comments I just made, Brother Freeman, because this is where I've been coming from with this platform that you have given me the blessing of joining me this morning to discuss this, because you had some very, very powerful comments in your testimony, and I'd like for you to share some of that with our listening audience.
Well, I urge people to go back and watch that hearing. All of that, it was recorded. I know you said some of it was left out, but my testimony.
No, they didn't leave it out on the 29th. They didn't even post that particular. They didn't put that up. And I've been, last week, I called Councilman McDuffie's office, and I made a complaint about the fact that they did not post the hearing for the 29th that he had oversight over. And the lady got this, oh, well, they had so many people testifying that it was too long. I said, no, miss, I testified. You know, they had 100 and some people scheduled. I said, half of those people didn't show up. I said, but that didn't have to do anything with the price of tea in China. The fact of the matter is, you posted
the October hearing. They're supposed to televise it.
Oh,
it doesn't matter how many people because when we had the longest hearing in the history of D.C., we was there to 2 o'clock in the morning, and they aired that in its entirety for the comprehensive plan. So I don't understand why she would say, or whoever said, that the length of the number.
I was talking with McDuffie's secretary in his office on last it was on the 30th of October. We both realized that hearing. We testified on the 29th. I called down on the 30th. And then I placed another call on Friday week going into the first of this month. So, and I have gone back up online and checked that archives. They have not posted that. And I believe that they didn't post it because of testimonies that, such as the one that you gave, I gave, and a number of folks who look like me and you gave some very, very, I thought, meaningful testimony as to why this bill should not be passed in its present form, because I personally introduced a amendment, because I was not in support of that bill unless they were going to address some of the economic concerns around this thing. And one of the things that I introduced was the Marion Barry John S. Wilson Reparations Clean Energy Amendment Act of 2018, where I indicated that if that 35% of all sustainable energy trust fund set fees collected from district ratepayers from gas and electric bill must be deposited in an African-American-owned bank operating in the District of Columbia, and that they must pass the property clean energy pace for residential homes in the D.C. because they've already passed that for commercial use in D.C. Bowser signed off on it, and they have put they've used PACE to put $25 million in putting solar on the new soccer stadium in Buzzard Point. The PACE is a governmental financing policy that classifies energy saving upgrades as public benefits like sewer, water, and road extensions. It enables 100% of hard and soft projects to be funded by private industries and repaid via surcharge of the property tax bill. Paybacks matched equipment life, which we're talking 20 years plus. Financing is based on the value of the property, which would allow the homeowner to borrow from 20 to 35% of the homeowner's property value. This eliminates the issue of credit, which we know is always an issue in the black community, and equity, so people wouldn't have to take equity loans. For residential PACE has already been passed and implemented in several counties in California. Now, if you're going to keep pace with the state of California and pass renewable portfolio standard laws as aggressive as these laws are, I had the privilege of having last week on this show the Mr. Roy Christian, who's head of the Clean Energy Sustainability Program for the city of New York. Very dynamic brother, and he came on and talked about what was going on in New York. This legislation is much more aggressive. It's the most aggressive piece of legislation that will be passed on the East Coast. If you're going to pass these type of laws, which is going to trigger the financing for this green bank, then there has to be some economic reprisals and set aside for our community. This makes no sense. This money is going to come out of our pockets as ratepayers.
Well, this is what we need to understand. This is a battle of capitalism. I mean, in the wake of Hurricane Harvey, there was a convenience store in Houston that reportedly charged $20 for a gallon of gas because people needed it. Over $8 for a bottle of water, and you know, $100 for a case of water. And this was reported to the Attorney General's office, so it's not hearsay. And so, you know, this is not, you know, so we're not just dealing with climate change; we're dealing with unrestrained capitalism. You know, but we already have it here. I mean, how is this price gouging that you're referring to any different than Uber or Ticketmaster engaging as a core business model when they have surcharges or surge prices. You know, oh, the demand is up, so we have to charge more. That's what capitalism is. So we got to challenge. We have to challenge that every turn, and we can do that by addressing the first thing you was mentioning about people having the funds to repair their roofs, so they can actually have they can accommodate solar powers that will ultimately cut down their energy costs. Because it will make them producers of energy rather than consumers of energy. And in fact, some of them could actually make money if their roof is large enough, because any the energy they produce they don't use can be sold back to the grid. And these are the things that they don't want us to talk about because they're empowering information. But what you pointed out has to be done in order for them to take advantage of that. And so you have to keep doing what you're doing so we can get the word out and we can make this thing real that benefits our people and not just be another situation where we're left holding the bag.
Well, Brother Freeman, I called the Public Service Commission this morning, and what backs up Mrs. Sandra Fry's statement is an article which people can go to my website at positivechangepc.com, click on the news and events tab, and you'll be able to find an article entitled "The PJM's Capacity Market Proposal, Bad for Customers, State, and the Fight Against Climate Change." And, I mean, our author and Cable and John Moore, they did an excellent job. This was published in Utility Dive, which I subscribe to. I get information every week from many different sources. And they did an excellent job laying out the argument supporting what Mrs. Fry said in her statement. This thing has tentacles. Now, everybody is aware of the fact that yesterday was the midterms elections nationally. But what people are not aware of is the billions of dollars that the utility companies spent representing the interests of those who are fossil fuel supporters, which is coal and other fossil fuels. And the fact of the matter is, this particular article went on, JPM plans is akin to a billion-dollar giveaway at consumers' expense to a few lucky fossil fuel generators. While we previously raised the alarm about JPM's plan, the proposal is worse than expected. It may be better for many future clean energy resources to exit the JMPA capacity market than take the extended resources carve-out options in which they must literally make payouts to dirtier plants. Now, this is all 45 and his boys who we know. Every agency in the federal government right now, there's no transparency, and you got corruption going on at the highest levels. Now, we know that folks talk a good game, but when lobbyists, who I call them the high gunslingers, come up there with their real ammo, which we call cash. As you said, Brother Freeman, this thing is called capitalism. I had an attorney one time told me capital punishment is defined. Those without capital get punished. Now, how much justice can you afford? Now, this is the part that I want to make plain for our community to understand. When you pay your utility bill, you are paying, and you have to be about getting this information and understanding how important it is for you to call DOEE, get this information about this Solar for All program, because that program is out here. They've underfunded the program. Billy Ann Kane, to her credit, in May, I had on my show over a year ago. She came on this show in May, and that was 2017, and she was raising holy hell about the fact that Nicholson and was trying to move another $7.5 million from the fund, because the Public Service Commission has the responsibility of oversight over these compliance fees after they're collected from the ratepayers. And she got so angry that she called in the D.C. auditor. The D.C. auditor did an audit report and found out that since the first inception of the preliminary legislation that led up to the Renewable Portfolio Standard Law started way back in 2007, but it kicked in 2012 when they actually started collecting this money. They had collected over $71 million, and that the council had already moved about $35 million of that. And she said, no more. You're not going to move another dime of this money until you put funding out here to help low and moderate income residents. That gave rise to the first funding for fiscal year 17-18 that went out to, it was approximately 9 grantees. We had one African-American company to get some funding out of there, which was Dr. Lillian Abrams Peer Consultants. Now, these are good programs, but they're still underfunded based on how much money that's being collected and the way that they're putting this money out there, because they're throwing the developers, because this is what my company does. We advocate for solar development companies, both large and small, with the specific goal of increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies. And out based on the information put out by the Solar Foundation, they just put out a report in 2017, said they had about over 9,000 solar installation companies doing business in the United States of America. We only have 20 African-American owned and run solar installation companies, which to me is a travesty. When we're talking about the fact that in 2007, our community, you remember something called Katrina? It hit New Orleans. Well, Van Jones, after W. Walker Bush bungled and didn't handle that national disaster in any kind of formidable way as it relates to our community, got so embarrassed that Congress, in fact, codified the Green Jobs Act. And in 2008, when Obama came to power, that resulted into $500 million in workforce development training. That went, $10 million went to every state in the union, including the District of Columbia. But guess what? The memo didn't reach the black community because very few of that $10 million reached programs designed and targeted for our communities locally and nationally. And the fact of the matter is, had it not been for our votes, Obama wouldn't have been there twice. So when I begin to look at what goes down here, I look at the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. As Brother Malcolm says, they're birds of the
two wings of the same bird.
Mm-hmm. Two wings of the same bird. It's no difference, because I've watched how
except for last night, because Andrew Gillum and that sister Stacey Abrams and Merlin Ben Jealous, all of those elections had voter suppression, and all three of those candidates were outstanding candidates who would have transformed their parties in those states, and that's why they suffered by voter irregularities in all three of those races. cases, and I wish that all three of them would have not would have fought this. I think Stacey Abrams has not conceded, and is challenging the recount because she has the most egregious complaint, because the guy that she was running against was actually in charge of the election. So I just want to put that out there, and I'm very disappointed in the people of Maryland right now, because they had an opportunity to get universal health care for their state, and they chose to vote for a Republican rather than support the man who has proven himself to be a friend to of black people. And I just had to put that out there, because it ain't just white women that's a part of this problem. There's also miseducated Negroes who are more concerned about the value of their property than they are about the welfare of their community and the children that's coming up behind us. So I'm very disappointed in what I saw last night.
Well, Brother Freeman, I agree with you. I went and voted yesterday, and I reside in Ward 9, which is called inside joke for PG County. I'm inside the Beltway. Now, what angered me so when I entered into the voting area poll was the fact when I was given that ballot, I looked on that ballot, they had almost 12 different initiatives that they were asking people to vote on. Not one politician, black, white, orange, or polka dot, publicly talked about the initiatives that were on the ballot. None! And see, these are things that, you know, on this show here, we make it plain. We're not going to go along to get along because we don't have to. We pay the freight for this show every week, okay? And most people, you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know that this show is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which is a blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American installation companies to address the economic effects of high energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities, and to utilize black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives to bring down the under- and unemployment of our young African-Americans locally and nationally. Also to educate the black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for more environmental education in the black community through black show talk radio programs and platforms such as Solar Now, the future with its economic impact on black America. It's also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends, BSHBCU Solar Talk Show Radio Initiative, and Scotton Communications Network, specializing in the following: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, and speaker bureau management. And for further information, you can contact Scotton Communications Network.com. That's SCTTON, Communications Network.com. Because we understand we also got to pay some bills to keep this on the air. So we want to make sure that the folks who support this platform, we give them their proper credit and due every week. But also, the slogan, if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. Now, that's what we're talking about right now, because whether we like it or not, black folks ain't going nowhere. We can talk all we want to talk about the issues, but everybody got to pay their utility bills. It makes no difference who you are or where you are. Everything starts with energy, and it basically ends with energy, because it's one of the major, major reasons why our motherland, Africa, cannot develop, because they don't have the infrastructure, grid infrastructure. And those who have traveled and have been to the continent, they understand this. There is a reason why folks such as the Chinese are on the continent. They're there because of what? The same instrument, computer that I'm speaking through you right now, you cannot build that without cobalt. You cannot build that without lithium, which comprise the batteries, which the Republican Democrat of Congo has 68% of all the cobalt reserves on the planet. So when folks in Africa, they ain't in there looking for our motherland's interest. They're there looking out for our own interest. But that's on us. When we have black folks running around here talking about everything but pocketbook issues and getting information out about the actual reasons why things are happening. Things are happening. We cannot change the fact that capitalism has, because we were brought here because of capitalism, and not looked upon as property. The Civil War was fought because the North told the South, you can keep and maintain the institution of chattel slavery, but you gonna pay taxes on your ends. Okay? That is a fact, not a fiction. Abraham Lincoln did not free black folks. The Civil War, he would have done anything he could, but he had no choice. It was a matter of taxation on the South. Property in this country that folks who came here, and they talking about immigrants and put up a border wall, they came here, you don't discover nothing that's already being used and occupied. They came here, they took this land from the original indigenous folk of this country, but it had no value until you had the actual labor that cleared this land and produced those goods and services from this land, and white folk wasn't going to do the work. They tried it. They were called indentured servants. They tried it with the Native Americans. They bought our folks, people, Africans of African descent here to this country. And that's what created this wealth. We built this. But we are still targeted today because we have been psychologically damaged. They took the chains off black folks' feet physically and moved into our minds psychologically. We, the only folks who can save us is us, but you are the way you think. Now, Brother Freeman, I want you to go ahead and follow up on some of your discussion on October 29th, because we got a little off, and I got on my soapbox. But I want our folks to understand what this thing is about. Brother Freeman? I hope our call, my guest caller did not drop, but we're here in the studio right now, and brother Freeman,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yeah, your mic went off for a second, but I've corrected that, so we're back on live on the World Wide Web. So,
okay. Well, yeah, we have a lot at stake here, and this is about my time. But you know, we have to remember what Dr. King said. You know, they're advocating for socialism for the rich and capitalism for the poor. That is the challenge that we are facing right now, and we have to get up off of our do nothingness and realize that we have to be actively involved, actively engaged. We cannot lead it up to these people to have this parental relationship with us, as if they know what's best for us, and we just accept whatever they tell us. We have to understand that we have been presented with false choices. They have presented us with the choice between paper and plastic, when in all actuality, that is a false choice, because we can bring our own bag to the table. And it's recyclable, baby, which means we're going to do it over and over and bring it back over and over and use it again and again. We have to figure out how to create opportunities for ourselves and bring our own bag to the table, which means we're going to have to be aware of these issues. We're going to have to wrestle with options that we can come up with ourselves. And that's where we're at a disadvantage, because we don't have any black think tanks. We don't have any working class groups representing us on a large scale. And then, of course, out of ignorance, there is a lot of bad behavior. A lot of bad decisions are made out of ignorance. And we've seen that last night in the Maryland elections, because I've never seen so many black people vote for a Republican in my life. But I cannot let that go. Maryland is on the hook for that one. But we need to understand is that people like you and independent voices that need to be amplified, we have to keep beating the drums, being the Paul Revere's, down cries, trying to wake these people up and get them involved and understand that we are the leaders we've been waiting for, not the suckers in the suits. We are the leaders that we've been waiting for. My friend Bomani Omar, famous for the BET hit video, Read a Book, says that parents are the child's primary teacher. Teachers are parents' assistants. I think that also applies to our political representatives. They are not our leaders. Okay? They are our assistants. We are the leaders, and they are our assistants who are entrusted in getting what we want done, not the other way around. And until we realize that, we're going to get more of the same. This is an opportunity for us to be involved, because, as you pointed out, it is on one side of the coin, it could be the fleecing of the sheep. But on the other side of the coin, it could be a shepherd empowering his flock. So, and we have to make sure that it's the latter rather than the former. And that's my time with you today, and I would love to join you again in the future. And thank you for all the work that you're doing.
Well, Brother Freeman, I appreciate you taking time on such short notice to join me on this platform, Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. But I want our listening audience to know that this brother gave a very, very powerful, powerful testimony on the 29th of October. And you need to be calling Councilman McDuffie's office and raising hell about the fact that they did not post that hearing, because we weren't the only ones who gave substantive testimony at that particular hearing. We had more folks of color on the 29th give testimony than on the 9th. Now, I don't know why it worked this way out that way, but it did, because I testified at both hearings. So I'm quite aware of that fact. And I want to thank you, brother, for taking time from your busy schedule to join us on this platform, and you will not be a stranger to this platform, Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Thank you, brother. Peace and blessings. Stay strong.
Peace and blessings. Mm-hmm. Well, that was Brother Kenwan Freeman, who is a community activist here. And you can catch him on We Act Radio, which he's one of the co-founders of We Act Radio, and it's online. It's very interesting to me how when I reach out to folk, you know, I reached out to, as I said this morning, to speak with Mrs. Sandra Fry. And I was directed to Mrs. McCoy, Dr. McCoy, who's the public relations person with the Public Service Commission. And I reached out basically because I wanted her to know, Mrs. Fry, to know that article that has been done by and authored by Ann Cable Cabby and John Moore, which was published in Utility Dive October 29, 2018, supports exactly what they're saying. Now, I'm just going to go into reading a little of that article. But the first thing we're going to do, we're going to take, as we always say, a little pause for the cause. And we'll be right back on the other side of the dial. And those who join us on a regular basis, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. If you would please join us by dialing that number, and please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, and we'll be right back here.
Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, those who join us on a regular basis, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Well, we always try it very, very hard to have guests on this show every week. Now, Brother Freeman delivered a very, very powerful testimony in front of Councilman McDuffie, and he happened to have been on the same group, because they always call you if you've ever been down to the city council hearings. You know, they call you in groups of four, and then you have 3 or 5 minutes to make your presentation. And he had a very, very powerful presentation that he made. But if our people want to know what they need to do, they need to call Councilman McDuffie's office. Now, I'm going to give that number out. So those of you who listen to this platform can do just that. I am looking for that number, and that number will be 727-202-727-3888. Once again, Councilman Kenyon McDuffie's office number is 202-727-3888. Now, the reason why you want to call that, you want to go to the dccitycouncil.gov, click on hearings, and click on archives, and you want to look for the October 29th hearing that started at 10 a.m. He's one of the co-chairs of the economic development for the D.C. Council, and you want to look at the testimony of that were given. As I said, Brother Freeman testified, yours truly testified, but there were a number of African Americans who testified at that hearing. Gilbert Camel of Vote Energy, Mrs. Paula Glover of the American Association of Blacks in Energy. You had a lot of people who brought substantive testimonies at that particular hearing on October 29th. And I feel that strongly, that's one of the reasons why they making all these excuses as why they did not archive that particular hearing, because that hearing is supposed to be there for 30 days, as Brother Freeman indicated, for the public to be able to go back and listen to those hearings. Everybody can't make these meetings. And yours truly has been making these meetings and testifying at these meetings at my own expense. So I need our folks to understand that freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. You need to log on to our website, click on our GoFundMe link, and you need to fund the program. You need to fund this program. We have been trying to raise about $62,000 for over a year now to be able to get this platform aired on Kathy Hughes' radio network, Radio One. It's been very, very difficult in raising the money. And we know that this is the game that's being played by a number of the agencies that we've gone to for funding, because everybody's come back to me and said, oh, once you get your show up on the radio, well, it's up on the airways now. This is a podcast radio show. We are broadcasting over Blog Talk Radio. We are streaming live over Facebook and Twitter. We will be getting this thing up on YouTube very, very, very shortly. I'm working on that as we speak. But in the meantime, I need your support. Now, many of you know every week what we try to do. We try to bring you news that you can definitely use. And as I was saying, this article that was done, PJM's capacity market proposal, bad for consumers, states, and the fight against climate change. In the absence of the federal climate leadership, states and local governments have shown up with a strong commitment to decarbonize the energy sector. PJM's proposed redesign of its regional electricity capacity market would hamstring state clean energy initiatives. Throughout the largest electric market in the United States, a cumulative about one-fifth of the U.S.'s power supply of the 13 mid-Atlantic states, plus the District of Columbia, in PJM's electric market, 12 have renewable portfolio standards or serious renewable goals. In the wake of increasing and alarming concerns about space, about the pace of climate change, states throughout the PJM are developing more aggressive clean energy goals. There's a lot at stake. This is what's going on in the District of Columbia and in Maryland. But as Brother Freeman said, in Maryland, black folks went to the polls and voted against their own interests. Now, I am a independent. So I cannot vote in the primary but I can vote in the midterm election, which I exercise my constitutional rights. And as I indicated, there were a number of initiatives. Not one thing dealt with the TNI, Transitioning Neighborhood Initiative, in Prince George's County, which is coming out of Mrs. Eric Betterman's office, Office of Sustainability for Prince George's County. Our folk have to understand that whether you live in the district or in Ward 9, you're going to be affected. Because what goes on in the district, they soon follow suit over here in especially PG County. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission recognizes the importance of allowing states to meet their goals without overburdening customers. When the Federal Trade Commission ordered PJM to reshape its capacity market, in which electricity is contracted for 3 years into the future to secure long-term grid reliability, the Federal Trade Commission also ordered PJM to explore ways to accommodate state clean energy programs and protect commercials from unnecessary costs. Unfortunately, PJM's proposal released this month goes in the opposite direction, punishing clean energy and charging customers. We have until November 6th to raise concerns to the Federal Trade Commission and prevent PJM's proposal from becoming a market rule. PJM's plan is akin to a billion-dollar giveaway at customers' expense to a few lucky fossil fuel generators. While we previously raised alarms about PJM's plans, this proposal is worse than expected. It may be better for future clean energy resources to exit the PJM capacity market than take the extended resource carve-out options, in which they must literally make payouts to dirty plants. The proposal targets low-carbon energy sources because PJM views financial support in the form of state renewable energy or zero-emission credits as distorting the market. PJM proposes three ways that low-carbon generators receive state support would be able to participate in the capacity market, operate as usual under the state programs, but be subject to a minimum offer price rule by MOPR in the capacity market. Commitment to foregoing any payment from state programs, but not to be subject to the MOPR or opt out of the capacity market through the resource carve-out options, are potentially the even more punishing extended carve-out. PJM's proposed options for clean energy resources represents body blows to state climate policy and customer wallets in the following ways. A misguided default option. Under PJM's plan, generators receiving a state subsidy of more than 1% of their expected revenue would automatically have their bid prices increased through MOPR, which is essentially a resource-specific price floor for bids in the capacity auction. The way that MOPR works is complicated, but the effect is that it sets higher minimum prices in an attempt to estimate what the price may have been without any state support. In other words, canceling out clean energy policy. Now, this is a long, long, long article. I'm not going to read it in its entirety, but people can log on to our website at positivechangepc.com. Once again, you can go to positivechangepc.com, click on our news and events tab. You can scroll down and you will be able to listen to this. We're going to always understand one thing. We have to always pay our bills. So once again, you can join us by calling 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after the calling, dialing the call-in number. Now, this show is brought to you every week by the BSLF HBCU Radio Talk Show Initiative and ScotlandCommunicationsNetwork.com. So you know that if you follow this show, that our motto is, we always, if it is power in numbers, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, captures that power for your financial benefit. And there is power in numbers because that's what puts your elected officials in office. It is numbers. We got to get up to speed, black folks, on this energy sector because they are financing, the Republicans receive spending 2-1 by your utility companies who have an interest in fossil fuels, spent 2-1 supporting Republican candidates who are not going to do a damn thing looking out for your interests. So you got to look out for your own interests. So you have to call your elected officials, those companies that you're spending your electrical dollars with, to task around this issue. If you're out there in our listening audience, we want you to call once again 466-682-948 because we are now opening up our lines for open lines to this show. Now, we're not going to stay up on this show if we don't get any calls. So please feel free to call us at 646-668-2948. And remember to press 1 on your phone pad after calling the dial-in number. As we say, we're going to take another brief pause for the calls, and we'll be right back.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless.
limitless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And we're streaming live over Facebook and Twitter. And we will be working very, very diligently to get our this show up on YouTube, because we understand that we need other avenues to get this platform out to our listening audience. Now, as we've indicated, this is Open Lines, and, you know, we can stay on the airways as long as we want to, talking, if we wanted to hear ourselves talk. That's not what this is about. This is about you coming on and sharing your opinion and what you're hearing over the World Wide Web, over this platform, Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. So we're going to give you a little more time to check in today on this platform. We're going to go ahead and we will be talking to you next week with another exciting program with hopefully other exciting guests that can come on and reinforce the beat of this drum over this platform, trying to reach you. And as we said, say every week, you know, this show is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies, to address the effects of higher energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity for solar installation for underemployed and underemployed young Black African-American millennials, now in the workplace, locally and nationally, and educating the Black community locally and nationally about the impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio's programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This show is also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, the HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you can get more information about that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. It's also brought to you by Scott Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, speaker bureau management, and that contact information is Scott Communications Network, S-C-O-T-T-O-N, Scott Communications Network.com. Once again, that's Scott Communications Network.com. And that contact person is Dr. Gwendolyn Scott Bethay. Well, we know, as my grandmama said, you can take a mule to water, but you can't make him drink. We have been working on trying to get folks to join us. Now, if you call in and your number is 202-841-1502, your call dropped. Please call us back. We're going to give you a few minutes to get that for that caller to call us back in to join us on this platform. Once again, if you call and your telephone number is 202-841-1502, your call dropped, please call us back. But there's so much going on out here every day, and people are very, very busy, and I get it. But when I reach out to a person and I give them an invite to this platform, and a person tells me, you know, they don't know if their schedule will allow them, to me, that ain't nothing but a cop-out. Nobody knows what your schedule will but you, and you plan your schedule how you want to plan it, because people make time for what they want to make time for. So I don't even get caught up in that when someone tells me, you know, I've got some information I can provide you. No, don't provide me with anything. You come on the show and you share that information with my listening audience. That's what this platform is for. But I'm not going to carry the water for somebody else, especially when people are trying to use me and my program to get their word out and don't even have the common decency to come on and speak truth to power. So if you join us on a regular basis, you know what we say. Thank you for joining us for another exciting edition of this show, Soul and Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. Until next week, please go in peace. As we close out another exciting edition of Soul and Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.